Welcome to the Fresh Start Podcast, Episode 17, brought to you by attorneys Gina Cho and Jeff Curl of JC Law Group, whose practice is dedicated to bankruptcy for individuals and small businesses. Thanks for joining us. I'm Matt Hayes. Please note that this podcast is not legal advice. For more information, visit jclawgroup.com. Now let's welcome Gina and Jeff to our podcast. How are you guys doing today?
Good. How are you, Matt?
I'm well. How are you doing, Jeff?
Good. Thanks, Matt.
Today, we continue on with our six building blocks to creating a healthy financial future. If you missed the first three, which were maximize income and decrease expenses, pay down debt, and starting an emergency fund, make sure to go back and listen to those. It'll make this one understand a little bit easier because we do reference our previous episodes and what we talked about. You can get all those here at the site at jclawgroup.com. Today, we're going to be talking about protecting your family, mainly talking about the different types of insurance that you should have. And Gina, there are so many options and so many things available. And honestly, when you pick up any sort of magazine, you watch television, if you listen to the radio in the car, everyone's trying to advertise, trying to sell you some sort of insurance for something. There's so many different things out there. Let's start here. What are the basics and what really does matter in the whole spectrum of the types of insurance you can buy?
So insurance is supposed to insure against some unknown event that can happen that will just be disastrous to you. So if you're married, for example, and your spouse dies, you know, that's going to just be financially disastrous. Or, you know, if you have a home and your home gets blown over in a storm, obviously that's going to be disastrous. And these are type of things where you wouldn't be able to save up enough money to protect yourself, to self-insure against these risks. So really, when you're talking about insurance, you have to look at what are the risks that you face and how do you insure against those risks. So, you know, like when I meet with people and they're like, oh, I have insurance on my six-year-old daughter, you know, that doesn't make any sense because life insurance, right? Because what are you insuring? I mean, it makes sense to insure your life because if you die, then you want to be able to have money for your six-year-old daughter. But if your six-year-old daughter dies, you're not going to need money. She's not an income-producing person. So it really doesn't make sense to insure your kid's life.
And what I find with kind of dovetailing from what Gina said is that we meet with people all the time who've been paying on insurance policies for years and years and years, maybe 3 years, maybe 30 years. And it's just a routine. And so when you suggest that this might not make any sense, it's kind of upsetting in a way for this person because there's a realization that how stupid has this been? I have spent, you know, how many thousands of dollars over the years insuring nothing, basically. You have to stop and really think about your insurance. And we have some insurance that's compulsory. And you've got car insurance is compulsory. You have to have it. You've got health insurance now is going to be compulsory to some extent with Obamacare. Well, you know, I don't know if anyone yet knows exactly how this is all going to be integrated and what it's going to look like. It's just some experiment, so I don't know. But maybe it's helpful to at least break it down between what's compulsory and what's voluntary and what you do for yourself over and above that. And at least with the compulsory stuff like health insurance and car insurance, you know, vehicle insurance for me is just, I'm like anyone else. I just want the cheapest policy I can get to cover me for what I need. What we do is we just occasionally go out and shop around, you know, once a year or so, because it's amazing how much the rates are. And I was with, you know, AAA forever. And then Gina was like, why don't we check out my insurance company? And we went and checked out our insurance company and it basically cut the rate in half. I did the same thing. I was in my routine. It's just nice to stop and evaluate these things. And why would I pay them for what is the same coverage? And they've both been good insurance companies that we've used. So
yeah, and also to just evaluate your needs. So when I had a newer car, it made sense to have collision coverage, but my car is 8 years old now, so I could easily pay cash to replace the car if, God forbid, I was in a car accident and I needed to replace the car. So it didn't make sense to spend $400 a year having collision coverage.
It's going to change every single year depending on the way your lifestyle changes too. You two are a married couple. Your insurance needs are very different than mine as a single 30-year-old male. It's just how it is. And as your life changes, you're going to have to reevaluate these every single time. As you do that too, it could potentially go up depending on how your family grows. It could also drop down though too, depending on the situation.
And then just even something, my previous life was insurance defense. And people think I defended insurance companies. I did not. I defended the insured. So if Hartford or State Farm or someone hired my firm, we would defend the insured on behalf of State Farm or Hartford or whoever the insurer was. I can tell you that one of the interesting things is just thinking about the amounts of coverage you get And so is it a good idea to carry an automobile policy with a minimum, whatever it is, 5,100 policy, or should you get, you know, 500, $1 million policy, 500,000 per claim, $1 million total? There's a lot of philosophies on that, but I can tell you that if you are in an accident and you are at all at fault and you have a big policy, you're a target. Whereas people who have minimal policies seem to, at least in my experience, walk away a little bit easier out of these situations because you're not such a target. It also depends on your assets, though. I mean, if you have a lot of assets, you probably want to have a higher policy limit, because if you have a real minimal policy, they can get demand the policy limits, at least here in California, and then they can go after you personally to get anything over and above what the insurance didn't cover. Lots of little calculations to think about.
Yeah, and it's all about just assessing your risk and figuring out how much insurance you need. And I think also insurance kind of touches upon things that we don't really want to talk about or think about. I mean, like life insurance, right? It contemplates the fact that one day you may die. And who wants to think about that? Jeff and I were shopping around for life insurance recently, and we were like, oh my God, this may happen where one of us may die and we have to buy insurance for the possibility and acknowledge the fact that that is a possibility. And you know, most people don't want to think about that.
What's your opinion, Gina, on the difference between like term life and whole life and universal life? Because there's all these life insurances out there, types out there.
Yeah, I think term life makes sense for most people. Basically, whole life insurance, what it does is it's insurance plus an investment. So you pay your monthly premium and part of that money is for your insurance, but part of that money goes towards investing it. And I think you can do a much better job investing your own money by putting it into a 401k or a mutual fund, because then you're not going to be subject to the insurance company's fees of investing those monies for you. I think it's a poor vehicle for investing your money.
Yeah, the universal and whole life, you're essentially building kind of a savings with it. So your premium is higher. You know, if your term life policy is for $1 million and your whole life policy is for $1 million, your whole life policy is going to be more in general. And then some of it's going to be set aside and built into like a savings plan. And you can borrow against that savings plan. It sounds kind of good in theory, but I think you'll find that the more sophisticated people in general tend to stay away from that because, as Gina said, you could take that money yourself and do much better things and earn more money at a lower cost. And really, if life insurance is the purpose to get a payout in the event of an unexpected death, then I would go for term life so that Gina's covered should I die or whatever happens. You know, if I get hit by the bus, that's what I want to happen. I don't want all this money being diverted into the savings plan when we could just set it aside somewhere else and make much more money on our own.
Right. And I think talking about these things when you're not in a crisis situation, when everyone's healthy and things are good and preparing for it, I mean, you're really protecting your family by doing that. You don't want to get into a situation where, you know, someone's ill or there's some disaster that happens and then be like, oh my gosh, you know, we should have done this, we should have done that. But really the best time to start planning it is now when things are okay.
Who do you talk to? This is a lot of information and there's a lot of questions that come with it because there's so many different ways to accomplish your goals and making sure your family's protected. How do you find the right people? How do you find trusted people that you can sit down and go to that can help answer these questions?
I would ask for referrals for brokers from friends that have bought it. Nothing beats the referral, or through your professional friends or personal friends or family or whoever. I mean, it's like anything else. I think in most things in life, if we can get a referral and someone will vouch, I would much rather go to that person. That's how we've gone about it.
And in terms of what type a professional you need, I think you can go and meet with an hourly financial advisor where you pay, you know, for an hour of their time and they look at your situation and say, these are potentially the insurance policies that you should consider, because the hourly, they don't sell you any products. So I'm a little bit weary about going and meeting with financial advisors whose sole job is to sell you products because I think they're biased. The other thing you could also consider doing is meeting with an estate planning attorney, and then you can talk about your insurance needs as part of your estate planning as well.
Yeah, I was gonna, that's Good. I'm glad you mentioned that. I was just going to throw in the estate planning, because each of these people has a different angle. And if you go and you meet with 10 different people, you're going to get 10 different answers. I mean, I'm sure some of them will overlap quite a bit, but it's really helpful because these are people who have dealt with this issue, and they're neutral and they're not emotionally invested in it. And it's nice to just get some perspective, and you know, you can walk away after meeting with a few people and judge for yourself what you think is best. But Gee, I want to ask you about like a couple just types of, you know, we talked about health insurance a little bit and life insurance, but what do you think about disability insurance?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's important to have. They're just very, very expensive. And a lot of times your unemployment insurance will also cover you if you're disabled. So
yeah, I think it depends. I mean, I think this is really more important, especially for self-employed, than people who are employed, because you have to, and this is where you should actually look at what your employer does. If you're your standard W-2 employee and you get something from your employer, you should look at the policy and the manual and see what you get, because they're covered to some extent. Self-employed people are really kind of on your own, except right. for government benefits. And then what do you think about property insurance?
Yeah, I mean, we just had Hurricane Sandy, and I, you know, we all saw the disastrous consequences. So it's definitely, if you have a home, that you need to protect it.
You've got the real property, but what do you think about insuring the contents? Because that's a different policy. Basically, insure your clothes, your bed, and your TV. And just,
right. And I think you know? This is where you have to assess your risks and see what you feel comfortable doing, because it may be you look around the house and you're like, you know, my stuff, it's just not worth that much. And if my house burned down, I will be able to replace all the content with the money in my savings account. So if that's your situation, then it really doesn't make sense to have content insurance. On the other hand, if you have lots of expensive, valuable things and you know you don't have sufficient amount of funds to be able to cover those things in case there's a loss, then you know you need content insurance.
The caveat to that, I think, is the scheduled property. And scheduled property within insurance like this is like a ring, insuring a diamond ring or something like that. If you look at the cost on a policy for insuring your entire household goods versus insuring your ring often will cost more to insure than your entire household of goods. If your entire household of goods is $50,000 in insurance and your ring is insured for, let's say, $20,000, your ring will actually cost more in most cases than the rest of your household goods. It's very expensive, obviously, because claims happen a lot more on that. It's small little things that get lost or stolen. So it's kind of weird, and you have to think about something like that. If you're spending all that money on that ring, and let's say you have kids, but you're insuring your ring, but you're not insuring your life, do you think your kids would rather have a policy that could get them through college, or would they rather have a policy that kept that ring in the family? I'm going to go with they would probably rather have some college and some future help, and that the parents would have wished that as well. We just get lost in these things.
You know, you're like, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I mean, I talk to my estate planning attorneys, and that's one of the biggest problems that they face is, you know, the clients are like, I can do this tomorrow. I don't want to do my will today. I don't want to do my healthcare directives today. I don't want to think about those things today because right now I'm alive and I don't want to think about the possibility of death. And who does? You know, I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I think if you love your family and you want to protect them, it's important to plan for these things. And like I said before, when everyone's healthy and there isn't such emotion around the issue.
Some great information. We will move on to our next topic, grow your wealth, in our next podcast. Gina and Jeff, thanks for your time today.
Thank you.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks for joining us today. For more information and to listen to other episodes of our podcast, as well as to learn about our 30 favorite budget tips, go to jclawgroup.com. JC Law Group is a debt relief agency under the United States Bankruptcy Code.